I know I made the comment in front of our group this week that AI is finally the reason that everyone will fix their data quality.
Yeah, and everyone laughed.
And everyone laughed, exactly. Karsten, good to see you.
Sean, good to see you.
Welcome to our quarterly conversation about the industry. I think we might. It will be hard to get through this conversation without saying the word AI, so I will be the first to do so. But we usually separate this conversation into three segments. We like to talk about what the user community is thinking about, and I think that's a great place to begin. Our last time with you, we talked about kind of 24 to 25, the trends from last year into this year. And certainly, AI agents were a number one top level thing for us to discuss. It still is.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very early days. So, I mean, everyone's trying to figure it out. What we saw in our research was that the adoption levels are actually quite high. So there seems to be quite some enthusiasm in the user community to also now adopt AI agents. My interpretation is that it's the that there's a pretty clear benefit to the agents, because you focus them on an operational process. You look at what can you automate, is there value, you can measure typically pretty quickly. And I think that's showing the value. And I think it's also quite timely because we see that companies now really want to see the value of AI. And these large Gen AI investments sometimes didn't really or couldn't really show that. And I think that's why AI agents are so interesting.
I think the agentic conversation is quickly going from, hey, we have a lot of cool agents that we think can do cool things, and product or business efficiency and modernization and optimization are tops, and also interaction with customers and the transactional things that you're doing with customers. We're going to find agents there. But I think that the room of vendors really started talking about, and I think the users will find this very interesting, is that governance and control and deployment and monitoring, all of those topics are very vibrant around the agentic conversation to make sure that agentic spaghetti and chaos doesn't happen. And I think that's really important for people that are listening today.
Absolutely. We see the vendors are building frameworks to manage all these agents. We see that they also start to slice up, I would call it, functionality to say, well, let's expose that as an agent. So there's a lot going on. I'm sure it will take now again 1-2 years until we have really a solution that can really use in a productive way. But things are going.
Yeah. I think around the governance conversation, everyone we spoke to this week is very much aligned with governance for data and for AI, and especially agentic needs to happen. We know it will, but it's kind of hard to see the future right now. I think it's going to evolve quickly. And looking 6 months into the future, I'm not sure we know all of the answers for it.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's an evolving technology. We don't know 100% yet how we will use it, really. And that's why governance has to, I think, evolve with the technology and the usage of it.
We talked about models, and I know that all of you are doing the same here in the quarter as we move into 2025. There is a definite movement towards experimenting with new ones, and new ones come out every day, it seems, and smaller ones. And the smaller one, we see in our research that many of you, 36% the last time we asked the question, are investigating what I would call domain language models or highly curated models for your industry or your line of work, like healthcare or regulated manufacturing and those types of things. I think it's a smart move.
Absolutely. I mean, the cost is coming down because you don't need these huge large language models. And typically the results also should get better because you have more training data on that domain.
I think as we go into the year, there's a bit of uncertainty. You know, we have a new American president that is, I guess, being disruptive from an economic standpoint. And I think that that's also caused concern around where does your data live? And is it under your control 100%? We had an incredible conversation and session this week that really focused on that topic. You have a great view of it from your market. What's your take on how important this is for users to be thinking about sovereign data?
Yeah, data sovereignty, I think, is the hot topic right now. There's a fear or a risk assessment in the market now with a lot of companies that are thinking about, okay, what can happen to my data if maybe we don't have full access to it anymore, if it lives on a US-based hyperscaler, or if it's American software, even if that's hosted in Europe, might there be a risk that we, for example, don't get full updates anymore or things like that. So there's a lot of uncertainty going on right now. And we did a survey on data sovereignty because we wanted to understand better how hot is this topic really. And we found 84% said, yes, it's a hot topic. It's an important topic. And more than 70% said it has increased in the last 1 to 2 years. And the drivers are pretty clear. There are two big drivers. One is new regulation. So there's a lot going on, the EU AI Act, but also other regulation that is obviously has an effect on data and how I govern and how I treat it. But the second one was clear, the political development in the US. So the companies we surveyed clearly said that is driving this need or this discussion around data sovereignty.
It's an important topic and certainly should be a priority for everybody that's listening in. Let's move to the vendor side of things. And I think we can all agree, back to the term agentic AI, all of the vendors are really distracted by this topic, but in a fun and exciting way because they see such a big opportunity. And I know you're seeing the same thing.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone has that on their roadmap now. For as usual with new things, it's early stage. So often it's more a roadmap item than software that we can already see. Some are a little further ahead, but definitely something that's on everybody's mind.
Yeah. In our recent research, we looked at how companies are using data to fuel AI, and we asked some agent-based questions and how they were using it. And 32% of the global audience that we talked to have already or are deploying an agent. Now, we know that those agents are not 12 agents talking to each other. This is small steps early on and that they're simple agents, but it's exciting that people are going in that direction. But this year, going forward, we're going to see more comprehensive and sophisticated agent environments where agents will talk to each other through A to A or other protocols and utilize tools that they're around or bring in other agents using things like Model Context Protocol, MCP, which is a very hot topic right now. And the vendor community is talking about that and trying to figure out which protocol will work best. And there's some concerns about even security within those protocols.
So again, things are being tried. I found it interesting that there was like a common understanding that we said at the beginning. So let's not discuss whether an agent is a real agent or an assistant or a workflow. Let's just say that things are going into the direction of automation. So software will take over additional tasks, and some are more simple. Some will be solved also with simpler technology, but that's the direction we are heading. And for sure, as things evolve, we will also see agents with at least partial autonomy. Yeah. Discussion was going on. Is full autonomy actually viable? Should we do that? Again, coming back to the governance question. But I think we are heading in that direction. That's the important message. And vendors are seeing it too, starting to adopt it, starting to implement it in their products. So it's interesting again.
Well, you make a good point. And that's why data and AI governance is becoming such a critical conversation right now, because as your agentic projects have agents talking to agents and agents governing the behavior of those agents, if you don't have a governance framework wrapped around that, you're going to make mistakes. And the vendors know that. And I think it's great that while they're excited about the possibility of agentic, they're also, I think, equally excited about how do we manage it and control it and keep our customers out of trouble. Another trend that we've seen this first quarter throughout the year is that quite a few vendors are positioning themselves in that very fertile, almost green area of opportunity. opportunity between the hyperscalers and the cloud database companies, and they're doing very interesting things for their customers as far as being a central place to do analytic work and BI-oriented work on their platforms. And it just kind of shows maturity in the market and how BI and analytics vendors are finding a space to add value.
Yeah, I think that's one important thing that we see, that semantics and metadata get more and more important, especially in the agentic AI discussion. So there's a common understanding that agents need not only access to data, but also semantic, more information around, more understanding how things are linked together, where are things coming from, and so on. And that is fueling this metadata discussion. And I think that's one of the features of, a BI platform and Linux platform is typically they have a semantic model, they have a semantic layer. And so that's something that could be quite interesting.
And some of the biggest who have been somewhat famous for having slightly closed environments are opening those environments up because they know to be in that space, they have to be able to go off and talk to your data wherever it is and also make good choices about where the compute will happen and whether or not you need to move data or if you're going to work with the data in its place and so on. And some of these are sort of traditional problems and challenges, but at the same time, I think we're seeing a fresh look at it.
Absolutely. And metadata is also for the vendors important. So just look at the acquisitions that took place recently. We had, obviously, the big one was that Informatica got acquired by Salesforce. And it was interesting to note in the announcements, the word metadata was way more often used than data integration, what Informatica actually does in terms of technology. But it was very obvious that governance and metadata was of key concern here in this acquisition. We saw also that DataWorld got acquired. That was like a catalog vendor. But again, metadata around data acquired by ServiceNow. So it's also something that vendors are acquiring if they are deciding not to build it or if they want to be faster, maybe.
Yeah. And both companies that you just mentioned are 100% jumped into the pool when it came to agentic. Salesforce changed the name of their annual conference to Agentforce, and ServiceNow is doing very similar things with how dedicated they are. Let's move to the investor side. So three topics: users, vendors, and investors. I will start with AI. Investment is happening either support it or to bring in very specific functionality, and governance seems to be top of mind. But you stay close to this topic quite a bit. What are you seeing in the market?
Yeah, I mean, the big one we just mentioned, $8 billion has been spent for Informatica by Salesforce. So that's a big one. We saw several in this metadata environment. I already mentioned ServiceNow and DataWorld, but also Alation, maybe one of the first data catalog vendors. They weren't acquired, but they acquired themselves, a company called NumberStation. And that's also a vendor that supports semantics, so access to data sources. So again, and enforcing, strengthening the metadata around it. What we also saw is that in the data integration space, there's a lot of movement all over the quarters. For example, Boomi made an acquisition, Tur, or Fiveturn acquired Census. That's a vendor that does what's so-called reverse ETL. So in a way, not only pulling data out of operational system, but also inserting the back in, which helps you then to operationalize things and get more operational in terms of applications. So a lot happening in the acquisition space. We have seldom seen such a busy month. That was May. So there's a lot happening. I found one more interesting maybe to mention. We cannot mention all of them because there's so many happened. But there was a pretty big one that was Databricks acquired Neon. So Databricks is on a spree, actually. It was the third acquisition this year. So only in the first 5 months. And Neon touches on the agentic AI discussion. And I found that quite interesting. So it's the value proposition is that they say we can do serverless Postgres instances.
Okay.
And then we'll wonder, why would I want to do that? And they said the use case is actually that these agents need to persist data, at least for a second or maybe for some time. Yeah, because agents typically they are called, they're invoked, they do something and then they're gone. Yeah, and but obviously it must make sense that they have to store some data, yeah, maybe to do a calculation or whatever. And that's what this can do. Yeah, so it can spin up thousands, I don't know, maybe millions of Postgres, so relational database instances, for just a short amount of time, yeah, and then it's gone again. So and that I think was quite interesting because it also helps to better understand how these agents actually work and what technical challenges we have there in this new world where they appear, have to do something, but they need some technology to support that, and then they disappear again.
It's one of the fastest moving technologies. I've been in the industry for about 30 years, and you've been in the industry for the same, and I haven't seen anything move with the speed that we're seeing. So the M&A market, I think, is mirroring the technology market and the fact that companies are instantly finding out, okay, we have a new gap and we have a new need. And a lot of it tends to be around what they're going to do with data. Our research shows that data quality remains a significant hurdle or challenge for companies doing AI and agentic and gen AI. It was a topic of discussion here, and I think it's also, as you just listed, a topic that the investor community is thinking about. I know I made the comment in front of our group this week that AI is finally the reason that everyone will fix their data quality.
Yeah, and everyone laughed because we heard that before. We do see more attention to data overall. That means also more attention to the quality, and I think most companies now understood that investments in AI have to be bolstered or supported by investments in data, because without data, there's no useful AI often. But that we will fix it, I think that's not really going to happen.
At least true. I do too. This has been a great conversation. Thanks for listening to our quarterly update. Karsten, great to be with you this week. And thanks for listening.
Thanks, Sean. Bye-bye.